Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, pardon me, once again, Father, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us so that the things that are said and done this evening, Father, are not mine, but that they're yours. Father, help us by helping us to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this your word, so that we can walk stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ as we pass through this life. Keep us apart from the world, Father, and more into your kingdom. And Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Going to be talking to you now from Acts chapter 8. We've been going through the book of Acts because this is where the church age started, actually. This book of Acts here in the Bible. We know that even in their day and time, everything did not go smoothly. So you and I need to look for everything to be roses, because it's not going to be. Think about this. It's not going to be. Jesus told us himself, they persecuted me, and they'll persecute you. Well, we know this to be a fact of life, don't we? Because most of mankind today do not care about the Lord Jesus Christ at all. nor his church, nor his people. They lie on you. They lie to you. And we know all of this because most of us has lived through a lot of it. And if you haven't yet, you will. All right. We're going to pick up here at this first verse. And it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. But now here, this Saul he's talking about will end up being the Apostle Paul, because we know that he will meet the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he's going there with papers to take men and women both that are following the Lord Jesus Christ and take them back to be imprisoned. That was his condition when he met Jesus that day on the road. And yet, God used him and used Paul in a great and mighty way, because he wrote a whole lot of the New Testament books. God knew exactly how he would stand. And you see, this is things you and I don't know. We don't know when we first go to the Lord how we'll stand, because we really don't know how we'll be able to stand until we have gained quite a bit of the knowledge that is in God's Word here in this Bible. When I first started out, and God first put me in the ministry, the first 3 years I spent was doing evangelism, preaching in different churches and traveling before he decided to make a pastor out of me. And each time that I would be sent somewhere else or to go somewhere else, most of it I didn't know how I was going to get there. I was a poor man. I was not a wealthy man. Didn't have a lot of money. Had a wife and four of the children. Take that back, five of the children. Now, and yet, I was called. I was far away from home. It's 1,200 miles. And I was called to be there a week. And yet, couldn't get closed out in that week's time. I was there 30 days. I had to call home, get my wife to wire me money, because I didn't have any with me. And I wasn't preaching for money, so I had to have her send me some. Now, Saul here, he's consenting to Stephen's death. We know, as of this morning, we read where they, as they were stoning Stephen, they laid all of his clothing at the feet of Saul. So we know Saul was consenting to that death. Now, verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Now, we know they are missing him because he had led quite a few to the Lord Jesus Christ and had done, as the scripture said, some great work. And to 3, says, as for Saul, he made havoc, or havoc rather, of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Now, we find in those first 4 verses a whole lot of things. But we see a lot of persecution going on, and most of it out of Saul himself. And we find, too, that those that had gave him the papers and all to do what he was doing were of the leadership of the Jewish people. They were primarily priests. Think about that. And that's what made it much more severe, was because it involved the lay people of the synagogues and things. And then it was coming by the hands of Saul. But yet, you know, you and I, as we read God's word, we see where he turned all that around to bring good, because he also turned Paul around and used him to record most of the New Testament for you and I and those down from that day and time until this. His word never changes. His word is always true. He keeps all of his promises. Man don't keep all of theirs, but God keeps all of his promises. So when you read a promise that God has made to you, and you are a born-again child of God, stand on that promise. It's yours. And it will work if you have put your trust in him. Because he does not fail. God does not fail. Nor he will not lie. So he keeps his word. And when he tells you that you are healed by his stripes, he meant exactly that. It belongs to you. But you have to receive it. Now, it may not happen at that very moment. It may be down the road even for several months. But it will come to pass. So just continue standing on it. Don't start denying it and saying, well, you know, I didn't get it, so I guess God just don't want to heal me. Well, he already gave it. You are weak. Strengthen that faith and stand on that promise, and you will receive it. Now, here in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now here we're talking about Philip, another apostle. And what is it he's doing besides giving the word out and spreading the word of God? He's also doing miracles of all kinds. Now here in verse 7 lets us see kind of what all he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. You see, these men, they stood on the promises of God. And they stood on his promise where he has told all of us. Because Jesus himself tells us. He said, all that believe in me. That means every believer, every born-again child of God. He said, these things I do, greater than these will they do. And he told us why. He said, because I go to the Father. He's up there still, seeing that we have the power, the knowledge and the power to carry on the work he was doing while he was here on this earth. But we're not seeing many of our churches today doing it, do we? Because they don't believe in it. And they are not listening to God's word. Verse 8. And there was great joy in the city because they were listening. And great multitudes was accepting what Philip had said and what he had done. They were believing now in Jesus. Now, here's a man coming up like a lot of ours today. Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, a form of witchcraft, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. You see, he's wanting to be great himself. No. You see, I want to be a child of God. I want to have great knowledge. I want his power working through me to do what he wants me to do, but not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. but keeping me as his child and living and walking in obedience unto his word. Now, here verse 10 says, to whom they gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. You see, even the people now, they're looking to him, and they're making someone great out of him instead of out of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. What he had wasn't true. Now, 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Now, since he became a believer, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. But you see, his heart is not right with God. What he was stating and trying to show people that he was a believer was all for self-sufficient. It wasn't true. It wasn't for God. Now, we're talking about baptism here. But, and they talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, they've all been baptized, but so far, you see, the Holy Spirit has not yet been given to them. But now, here at 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, we know these days in between this, because they had to travel even, and word had to get back to them, and then they were sent. 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been baptized in Jesus' name, but they still did not have the Holy Spirit of God. So these churches and these people that are telling you out here that you get all this at one time are not handing you the truth. Here's God's word. Follow me in it. And if you don't have your Bible with you right at this moment, get it and read for yourself. They were baptized in Jesus' name. Now, 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. When Peter and John would lay their hands on them, they would receive the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, Now here he is thinking he can buy this gift of God. No. We do not buy God's gifts. That's why they're gifts. They're given. But they are given to those that are right in his sight to bring about a completion in Jesus. Now, here in 19, 18, he had offered them money here in 19, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. That's a warning for you and I. You can't buy it. It is free. It is a gift that God gives to us when we are walking with him. And when we have done what we needed to do in order to receive that gift. And you know, we're seeing here where these people were baptized in Jesus' name. Any old baptism is not right. If you want to come over with me tonight in chapter 19 in the book of Acts, we'll start with verse 2. And of course, now, this is Paul at Ephesus. He says unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, we're finding out that you can be baptized and baptized wrong, just as they had been. They were baptized in John's baptism. Why would that be wrong? You see, John's baptism, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, was under the law. And his baptism was for repentance. Their repentance and their forgiveness at that time was covered by water. But after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be covered by the blood, and our baptism is not for remission of sin. That would have already happened when we went to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and asked for forgiveness. Now, we are to be baptized in Jesus' name. He goes on here to tell them in verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Now, you see, things don't happen just as what mankind wants to believe. Things happen according to the right way and according to God and His time. Now, when we get back into our 8th chapter here, we're finding where Simon had wanted this power and thought he could buy it with money. He found out that wasn't going to work at all. And here in verse 21, they are telling him, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." His heart's not right. We go on here in 22, tells me, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." You see, when we are deep in sin, we are in bondage. We are under bondage of sin. That we don't want. Verse 24. "Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." Now, verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." This man's in a chariot now, and he is on his way to do his work, but he was reading the scriptures. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. Think about it. Now, he's just out here on one of these long, dusty old roads in a chariot, but he had stopped and he was reading Isaiah. Now, here in 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." You see, when you walk with God and you are his born-again child, he will talk to you and tell you what he wants of you. As I have told you all before about him speaking to me and wanting me to go pastor a church that was two states away from where I was living. He gave me the name of the church and even the directions to get there. Me young in the ministry and not really thinking. I heard him speak to me and know what he told me to do. And I was willing to do it. But I was going to do it my way because I also had a business. That's where I made my living, because I didn't take money for preaching. I have never taken any money for preaching the gospel. I've always worked. God's always seen that things worked for me and that I was able to do it. Did it make me a wealthy man? Not in terms of wealth like the world looks at. But yes, it's helping me to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, you see, here he is in this chariot reading. The Spirit told Philip to go and join himself to that chariot because God is wanting Philip to explain some things to him, to share with him. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and say, understandest thou what thou readest? He's asking, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He's looking for something. This man is truly looking for something. What about you? Are you truly looking for something? Because if you are, if you will get into God's Word and find what it is you're looking for and stand upon God's promise, you'll get it. You just keep going to God with it. And you will receive it. Now, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And you know, talking about that, we all know where that comes from in Isaiah, because we've all read it and read it probably many times. But this eunuch, he didn't know. He had no understanding of it. And he's asking all about this, or Philip, rather. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? Who's he talking about? Now, 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, we've all done that. I have preached several messages and service from that same scripture in Isaiah. Now, and you know, we all need to think more about the Word of God and how we stand ourselves. And as I asked this morning, and I ask again this evening, When we look in the mirror, what do we see? Are we seeing the reflection of Jesus, or are we seeing self? Because you see, within each child of God, they have that deity of God living inside. And when we look at ourselves, we should be seeing his reflection in us. Not because we're anything, but because he is and he is there. Because he's told you that he will come and make his abode with us, and he will never, ever leave us. Think about it. So what is people when they see you? What are they seeing? Are they seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in you? Or are they seeing just a man? They should be seeing the Lord Jesus. 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? He's wanting it all, ain't he? He's hungry. He's thirsty. He's wanting it all. Now, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you, I'm asking you, do you really believe that he is the Son of God? You see, when you really believe, that is knowing. Do you know in your heart and in your mind that he is the Son of the living God and that he is living in you? Now, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But oh, now, another miracle is about to take place. Not many has had this done, or some that have, and I am one of them. When he baptized him, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Spirit of God has moved Philip away from where this eunuch was and took him to a city. In that city we find here in verse 40, says, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Spirit carried him away and carried him to another city. We don't know how far off that was. It doesn't tell us how far. But we know that in verse 40, Philip had established his ministry, and he was establishing it in Caesarea. And we know Philip was still there about 20 years later, that he and his whole family were still there. So he had established the church there and evidently had ministered there now for about 20-some years. And we have now come to the end of chapter 8. We will stop here. God willing, we will pick back up again come Thursday. I hope all of you will be with me, because we're going to see a lot of things take place and a lot of changes come about here in this book of Acts. You see, they settle that is at work in the book of Acts. And a lot of things that are going on. And we're even seeing a lot of change take place. So I want all of you to think about what we said this evening. And I do ask you, if you follow me on Blog Talk or on YouTube, either one, or if you come where I am, always have your Bible. I want you to follow me because I want you to see God's Word. Not something just because you've heard it comes from me. Although that you hear coming from me is not me, it is the Holy Spirit. I am not smart enough to preach the gospel or to teach. It is the Holy Spirit working through me that's doing it. I'm just a little old country boy with an eighth grade education. But I love my Lord Jesus Christ. I love my Heavenly Father. And I love the Holy Spirit. And I love His Word. And I want to get deeper and deeper and deeper into it each and every day. I want Him living through me. I gave Him my life for that purpose. For Him to live through me. I don't need to be living it. Him to live it. So that heaven will be my home when I step out of this life and into eternity. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Father, we know that they are your chosen people. But we know that they rejected Jesus. They wanted to stay under the law. They had him crucified. But Father, you still love them. We love them. We want to see them all find the Lord Jesus Christ, be forgiven for their sin, and walk with him to make heaven their home. Now, Father, this land that I live in that has turned its back and walked so far away, taken my Savior out of every place he was in, started first taking it away from our children and down out of our public places, not wanting his name used in prayer even. Father, help us to remove from our government office those that are against your church, against your people, against Jesus. And help us to replace them with ones that love you, that love the Lord, will work with us, Father. Help us to bring this land to repentance for the sins it has brought upon its people. Father, we know that one day we need to come together and become one church, the Lord's church, and work to bring this land to repentance. Put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for Kenny. I pray for Dennis. I pray for James Taylor. I pray for Bob and Millie Johnson. Father, I pray for Sue and David Branson. I pray for myself, Father, and all of our families, all of our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, that the Holy Spirit will work with them. Bring them all to a knowledge of knowing they need the Lord Jesus Christ in order to make heaven their home. That none be lost, Father, and spend eternity in hell and that lake of fire, in all that bad, horrible torment. No, Father, that's not what I want for. Holy Spirit, help us. Help to turn them, Father. Now, Father, keep us safe through this week. Help us with our studies. Give us more knowledge. Keep us all in health. I pray for the healing for each and every one of us. And Father, I pray for those out there that are listening through YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. I pray for all of them, Father. Those that are sick, that are diseased. I pray that they will stand upon your promise of healing. It's been given. I pray they receive it. Stand on it and they will have it. Bring us back together again Thursday evening, Father, when we can be back into your word, having our fellowship, growing together, growing as a family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless.
Yeah.